Today's episode of Watch What Crappens is brought to you by our Patreon super premium sponsors, Christy Dougherty, Mia Hansen Aloha, Madonna Hines, Cindy Gersten, Kelly Barlow, and Jess Sayin. Thank you.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love. I'm Ben Mandelker from BsideBlog.com and The Banter Blender, and joining me is the always lovely and hilarious and just perfectly wonderful person, Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and also the Rose Pricks Bachelorette Roast Podcast, who may just have his hands full with all the breaking news over in Bachelorville these days, huh?
Oy.
Makes you sort of happy to come over here back to this podcast and talk about things like non-consensual kisses instead.
Yeah, we did a little bonus for Rose Pricks about that whole Bachelor in Paradise itch, so that was depressing. And then I had saved Southern Charm for today, and Jesus Christ, then Catherine sobbing at a model place, and I'm like, what is happening to my morning, okay?
Yes.
I'm supposed to have a fun job. What the hell?
Yeah, well, first, before we dive into our Southern Charm recap for the day, we have to do some fact checking or fact revisions or whatever from yesterday's podcast, because we made several errors. And rather than just wait a whole week as the tweets keep coming to correct us, figure we might as well address them now. Here are the errors. These are non-offensive errors. Don't worry. We're not in trouble. But for anyone who feels compelled to send out a tweet about this, we're going to cut you off at the pass. We said Great Falls, Maryland, about a million times during the Potomac recap. Great Falls is in Virginia. So there you go. And Robin's t-shirt, we made fun of Robin's t-shirt in Potomac for saying something about, like, she's a diva or something like that, right?
Devastated diva.
Turns out that is like a t-shirt that, and a slogan that is linked to a historically black sorority. So who knew? From Del.
It's still funny that Robin's wearing it.
Devastated diva.
Skewy. But yeah, that was, I was surprised to learn that because I was not expecting that whatsoever. So there is a story behind that. Delta Sigma Theta, she and Giselle are both part of it. So for everyone who wants to be like, actually, there's a story, we now know it. And then the third thing is yesterday's episode took place in Bermuda. And so we actually got an email from a native Bermudian, who filled us in a few things about Bermuda, who says they are the oldest and most populous British colony and are not part of or associated with the Caribbean at all. Pastels are a thing there, so they love their pastels. America's Cup is a race, which I think we knew, and the Fairmont, which they stayed at, is one of the older and most well-known hotels on the island, but they really should have stayed at Tucker's Point. And also, they're the leading reinsurance center of the world. So look at all the stuff we learned from yesterday's podcast.
Well, look at that. And hey, while we're speaking of mistakes, let's talk about this guy who married Kenya Moore. Good luck with that, buddy.
Yeah, there's that too. Kenya Moore got married in St. Lucia, which is in the Caribbean, and is no way associated with Bermuda. So there we go.
We got all the otherwise known as a long-term contract with Kenya Moore. Good luck, buddy.
Yes. So why don't we mosey on over to Charleston, huh, for some Southern Charm? What do you say?
Yeah, let's do her, man.
I love this episode. I feel like Southern Charm was at, like, you know, a mild simmer all season, and now it's finally boiling over, which is the way it is every season, and I'm here for it.
Well, Cameron's doing the opening. The opening stuff is normal. You know, the opening previouslys. Mm-hmm. And I love that she just can't let anything go. Because she's like, in the game of love, when you snooze, you lose. I'm like, Jesus, you're still mad that Shep, like, was asleep instead of coming to your goddamn real estate thing. Let it go.
She's probably more angry that he's encroaching on Craig's story arc about sleep. That's like his ongoing, every season that he sleeps too much. She's like, Champ, let Craig have his sleep storyline, Champ.
That's Whitney, the producer. Yeah. Shep, bro, we need to make sure the storyline lasts for Craigie boy.
Mother. Yeah. Can you please stop co-opting his sleep storyline? Thanks. So the episode begins after Cameron does her. We see Shep. He's cleaning up his house, which is full of beer boxes and bottles. And he's like, gosh, I need to get out of this house. It's a fucking fraternity. Gosh.
Oh my gosh, there's a phone between the couch cushions. Gosh.
Yeah. He acts as if it's just like the house is doing it to him. Like the ghosts that live in that house just keep having ragers every single night.
He also keeps saying, I don't even remember, which is such bullshit, because if you remember to plug your iPhone in and charge it between couch cushions so it doesn't get broken, you're remembering things. Like, you still have a point in your brain that is holding on to responsibility, sir.
Yeah. Okay?
That's my argument against you in court in case you got in trouble for doing anything that night.
Well, when it comes to iPhones, we all are able to push out of our drunkenness to make sure it's in its best possible state. And if not, then you have a cracked Luanne de Lesseps iPhone situation.
If I don't charge my iPhone, I can't masturbate to anything when everybody leaves. Gosh.
So after that, like, opening montage, you know, we see Landon walking Charlotte. And then we go.
Oh, I'm walking her alone.
Is this dog park Rome worthy? I'll never know because it's never gonna be a website.
I'm doing this walk with Charlotte on my own. It's all mine.
Charlotte, I just want to walk to the reservoir by myself for once. So Cameron, she calls up Chelsea and she's like, hey, what are you doing tonight? And Chelsea says, oh, I'm going to go help Catherine pick up outfits for her photo shoot. And Cam informs us, you know, I have been very impressed with Catherine and her recovery and also the fact that the public likes Catherine, so I'm going to be nice to her now.
She's been making actual steps to please people on Twitter, so I want to be in her corner.
She is a real contour de force these days.
Cameron talking about responsibility while she's driving with her phone out. Young lady, I don't know if that you guys are the last town to get that law or what. I used to think that was the dumbest law ever, you know, not being able to hold your cell phone. But now that it's become law, I'm like, how dare you, ma'am?
Well, sometimes those communities in the South can hold on to antiquated laws a lot longer than they should. You know,
they just you know, made it illegal to, like, hide a black person in your trunk to hold your phone for you in the car. So I guess we should give them some applause there.
So wrong. So wrong.
But anyway. It's so the South, you know?
Yeah.
And as these shows go on and the racist stuff really starts to come out and people are getting so mad on the internet and I'm like, where have you been? Where did you think this took place?
Yes.
You really think Patricia doesn't collect, like, crazy racist art and all this other stuff that's going right on the internet? Like, of course goodness. It is. It's the South.
Exactly. And in case you forgot it was the South, we then see T-Rive going to visit JD at the restaurant.
Oh,
all right.
I'm in a bow tie. All right.
All right. Gentry and Coke for the table, please.
Now, Caroline will be doing truffle fries, and shrimp polenta.
Like, did you hear the new law where you have to use a hands-free device in your car? What is this world coming to? Ah!
They even get the Food Network 3 years late. You know that the Food Network declared truffle oil as being, like, totally gauche now, okay, JD? They'll get that, like, 3 years later.
even the Food Network, I'm surprised the Food Network even knew what truffles were.
And it was on, like, the Food Network Star. I mean, it was on some show like that or Chopped or something where they're like, truffle oil over. It's like, really? You're like Chopped.
By the way, I still really like truffle oil. And I don't care. I stand by it.
Well, you found your town. Also, Charleston. They do that thing where JD is standing way too close to his face.
Yes.
He's like, Thomas, can you feel the river? It's like, whoa, back away, dude.
I know. I can see every detail of your gin blossoms.
And that whole day drinking thing, which I love. He's like,
you want a little lunch? Did you hear truffle oil?
And Thomas is like, no, but I'll have a little cocktail.
I have a cocktail, JD, my family. We've always had cocktails, not like the Limehouses who have to enjoy simple things like Tropicana orange juice without
not
the vodka.
Not like the Limehouses who only drink cockatoos, a bunch of copycats.
They actually literally take birds, cockatiels, and they puree them up in a blender and drink them. They're just barbarians, those Limehouses.
Eliza Limehouse, you've been warned.
So they're talking about Catherine because Catherine's going to do this photo shoot with Kinsey. And you can tell that both T-Rav and JD are less than enthused about this idea. They think it's really stupid, but they're tolerating it.
I mean, like, if you can't stand up for child labor in the South, where can you stand up for it?
Exactly.
Kids should have a damn job. Your kids wouldn't be out there doing drugs if they had to, you know, work at the bowling alley after school.
Yeah, exactly. So so then T-Rav tells JD that he took Landon for a walk, and JD has a look of deep concern on his face, which is amazing because he doesn't often get that look of deep concern. Maybe unless it's like he realizes that he's hired someone to be his bourbon consultant who has no idea what bourbon is.
He's like, well, are you thinking of getting back with Catherine? And he's like, no, I need a real woman, which is why I went on a walk with Landon. And he said, was that a real date or a walk? Was there grits on this date? Was shrimp? Was there truffle oil? I love this date. All right. And then we get a clip of this other date where he's like, hey, I picked I found this newspaper on your doorstep. Here it is.
Oh, thank you. I found the book of poetry you left me. Will you read it to me?
She's like, actually, that's my book of dick pics, what we used before we had cell phones. So you better hand that over, little lady. Thank you. You're OC, our class.
See, dick, run. So Thomas, like, opens this poetry book that he's obviously never read and starts going through it. And he's like, I'm not going to read this.
It reminds me of E.E. Cummings minus the E.E., if you know what I'm saying, huh?
And JD is the first one to be like, well, of all the people in the universe, Catherine may not be too excited about hearing about you and Landon.
Yeah. He actually goes, technically, JD goes, Catherine has been Landon's greatest supporter. What? Not? What?
And he says, humor. Don't buy any rabbits.
I didn't hear him say that.
Yes.
Yeah. It's kind of funny to think of T-Rav dating 1987 Glenn Close.
Yeah, I know. She's way too age appropriate.
And a little too sane.
And also had a job, as I recall.
Well, I do like a lady who's going to cook me a meal.
Listen, anything works with a little ketchup.
You know, I was traumatized by Fatal Attraction because they filmed it at my elementary school. And they had a raffle for all the kids to be extras. And I swear to God, I was the only one in my entire school that did not get picked. And everyone on that Saturday was like, are you going to go be in Fatal Attraction? Are you going to be in Fatal Attraction? And I was like, no, I'm not going to be in Fatal Attraction. And then I told my mom, don't worry, Mom, someday I'll be a star, which was probably the first sign that she knew I was gay. And then later on, I met Glenn Close like 10 years later. And I told her that story and she laughed. And for some reason, it helped me because I was like, Glenn Close is here for me right now. But I don't think I've ever truly gotten over it.
I don't blame you. Also, what was it about you that they just didn't pick to be an extra in Fatal Attraction?
I'm gonna say Jewish and gay.
Well, welcome to Savannah. All right, let's skip over to the next recap.
So So now
that would be your thing in a big racist talk. Well, I understand that that's a really bad epithet, but you know, I wasn't picked to be an extra in Fatal Attraction because of Jewishness. So.
Nelson, I appreciate your apology, but it does not take back the raffle to be in Fatal Attraction. So, please.
That doesn't make up for you not being able to see me behind Glenn Close's shoulder.
So if anyone is casting Fatal Attraction 2, which is probably very likely these days in Hollywood, I am available for extra work, okay?
Oh, girl, please. You don't even have to do that now. Like, the world has changed so much. You don't have to boil a bunny. We have the internet now. We can ruin each other's lives and without even leaving the couch, really.
Yeah, that's true. Reminds me, I have to watch that Katherine Heigl movie. Anyway, so, you know, that new one? You have no idea.
She gets thrown down the stairs, right? She's like the Glenn Close.
Does she? Yeah,
I think she's the Glenn Close. Well, they always get thrown down the stairs, don't they? And then they're like, oh, we got them. And then they're like slowly getting up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great movie trope. I love it. So now we go to Landon, whose dad has come to visit. It's his obligatory appearance for the season. And they go on like a little drive and she's like, yeah, the website's really coming together, though I had to rename it. And he's just like looking.
What do you think of orbits?
Well, since we're sort of near Bay, I thought it could be like eBay.
I love how her dad shows up and he's like, knock, knock. Hello, Landon.
Like, Dad, you're with me. What could be better?
He's like, well, I could still be in Key West.
As she's talking about the website, he's just like looking out the window mournfully as they drive over the Ravenel Bridge, and he's like, this bridge could have been yours if you had just played your cards right.
A website, you could have had the side of the town square. Paid attention, young lady. So he's got plans for her. She thinks she's just going to see one of his real estate deals and, you know, like party.
Swamp, yeah.
Spend father-daughter time. But they go over to this land that he's developing, and he's like, I have plans for you. I need someone here every day because I'll be in Atlanta, and the commission on this is $100,000. And she's like,
this is a lot. I mean, I thought I was just, you know, I'm making a living through this website, like, for the first time, and I like doing myself. It's like the first thing that I've done myself.
No one's gonna walk Charlotte.
Now, I don't know if anybody else heard eyebrows on the other side of town throwing glasses against her wall, but I don't know who the fuck Landon thinks she is saying she's doing that alone.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Eyebrows is like, I haven't been to the Threader in years trying to get this website done for you, bitch. How dare you?
I have spent so many hours trying to convince her not to name this site TMZ.com. Okay? This is not a solo effort.
Well, I just came up with the name Southwest Air.
So the dad's like, well, hope doesn't pay the bills.
Yeah. He's like, I've always encouraged you to dream, but you gotta pay your bills, too.
She's like,
I know, just random hope doesn't work, but what if I hope you pay my bills?
Hope.com? Is this swamp hope-worthy?
Oh, Landon. So she starts going into this hope. This is my dream, and I can't believe it. And she goes,
you know, of course it would be easy to take a job from my dad and marry Thomas, but that's giving up on myself.
How romantic. Not that Thomas deserves much better, but that shit is hilarious.
Yeah.
I hope that you guys can bet on me.
is like the worst bet.
That's like, what, betting on, like, double zeros on roulette. Can you even do that? I don't think so.
Yes, you bet on the double zeros.
And then you watch your money just go away.
Yeah, but then when it does strike, it hits really big. So I guess that's the problem with that logic.
Yeah.
I don't see orbitwayfair.com or whatever the fuck it is, like, hitting gold. But what do I know?
I'm bringing back Ask Jeeves.
Actually, he's still with us.
Cooper, is that you? That's right. I've been doing Ask Jeeves cosplay for a year, waiting for someone to notice, but they just keep hiring me to do things.
The trick is, you can only ask Jeeves if you do it with a member of the opposite sex, Josiah.
I will not give an answer to a male.
Ask heteronormative Jeeves.
So then we have Cam, who she goes over to Shep's house and lets herself in as usual. And he's just like sitting on the couch reading Jack Reacher. And she's like, Shep, you're reading a book? He's like, gosh, yeah, reading, gosh, letters.
Sometimes I surprise even myself, gosh.
So they're she's, what are they talking about? I wrote down everything. Speaking of ladies... She's like, speaking of ladies, I saw Chelsea, you know, she looks so hot, you know, and she's also so cool, Shep, yeah. Hot yeah. And cool.
Because Cameron is trying to fix Shep's life. So Shep is saying that he needs to move to the beach because he needs some buffer from all the temptation of downtown, unless it's cheerleaders, you know. And so he's trying to get his life together as if moving to the beach is really going to solve anything. And so that's when Cam starts talking about, like, Chelsea and, like, you should really be hanging out with Chelsea. And he's like, gosh, isn't she dating Austin? And she's like, I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
And here's what you need to do next time you see her. You need to grab her by the arm, pull her out of back door, slam her up against the wall, and say, you are everything to me, Chelsea. He's like, I don't think so. I don't think that's how it works. She's like, yes, it is. Well, that's non-consensual. I don't care. That's what women like. It's like,
haven't you seen a rom-com? Did you learn nothing from Dirty Dancing? Can you do a lift?
Non-consent by proxy, this show.
Yeah.
Cameron's like the villain. She doesn't even know it.
Yeah, it's... She's forcing her Emma agenda way too strongly here. So, you know, Shep is like, gosh, okay, I guess, gosh.
She's like, well, I just think that we're both in the same places. He's like, no, we're not. We are, Shep. We're both in a point in life where we're happy.
He's like, I'm not happy.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
You're just scared of getting hurt. And he's like,
I'm not scared of being hurt. I'm scared of hurting other people. I've felt nothing for anyone in a long time. I need help.
She's like, no, you're perfect. Date Chelsea. I'm like, this guy's basically a psychopath. He's telling you he's a psychopath.
You're
trying to set him up with your best friend. What the hell?
I actually thought it was, like, it made me sad. I mean, it was sort of a sad sentiment. He for a moment there, Shep seemed like he was just kind of, you know, tapping into, like, some sort of deep state there. You know, saying he knows he's going to hurt people, he would rather get hurt so he could feel something in his sad, aimless life. And I was like, oof.
Somebody hold me too close. just a little. Thank you, Patti LuPone, for bringing being alive in.
How could Patti LuPone
being alive? If he ever does kill somebody, Cam's going to be one of those people like, I never saw it coming. He was so nice. I mean, he just told me that he doesn't feel anything and that, you know, he's afraid he's going to hurt someone. They're going to be like, ma'am.
Poor Shepherd. Poor Shepherd.
Should have stopped this.
So then I had to watch this on my Apple TV this morning because DirecTV, my receiver, didn't record it for some reason. They said it was canceled because of preferences. I was like, what preferences? What possible preference could there be other than Southern Charm right now? We're not even recording anything else. There's nothing else on TV. I was so mad. So because I watched it on Apple TV, I couldn't fast forward through the commercials. And the very next commercial that came up right after this was this horrifying thing about meningitis. And it was like this mom looking over her dying son with meningitis. It's like this all could have been fixed if only he had used Tremenba. And I was like, it was such a horrifying commercial. I'm still traumatized by it. I don't remember.
Jesus, Tremenda? No kidding.
Yeah.
God, if anyone's going to give somebody meningitis, it's going to be Shep.
Yeah, exactly. And they were showing this is how you could get meningitis from sharing a kiss or a drink or even a spoon. I was like, so everything we see on Southern Charm, they're all going to get meningitis now.
Yeah. Going outside, you know, truffle oil,
truffle
shrimp
oil.
And grits.
Food Network star. Watching Food Network star will give you meningitis.
Bow ties indoors in the daytime.
Yeah, well, you know, It really made me, it makes me want to just lock myself in my apartment and just curl up on my Casper mattress, which is funny because guess what? Casper mattresses are sponsored today. Did I mention that? Hey, you guys.
Oh, they are? No,
they
I didn't
are.
Know.
You guys. Casper. We love Casper. We do these ads all the time. And, you know, we could go through all the usual talking points about how Casper makes a premium mattress and sells it online for a fraction of what it would cost in a store, okay? And how their business works by continuously developing their mattress using feedback of nearly 500,000 customers. And the fact that real customers have said that the mattress is like sleeping on a brioche, which I can confirm, and like being cradled by the tinkling of baby laughter in the moonlight, you know? But here's the thing. I have one of these damn mattresses, and I sleep on it every single night. And I don't need to give you talking points to tell you that it's awesome. It is so good. I love mine.
Yeah, and Casper's really gotten out there. I see a lot of things online of just my normal friends outside of this, obviously. like, hey, what kind of mattress should I get? And everyone's like, Casper! Like, they've really grown this Casper, you know, and rightly so.
Yes, and our friend Angie just recently bought a competitor, and she was like, yeah, they have a foam layer, it's supposed to not get hot, but they lied, it gets hot. I was like, well, guess what? The Casper doesn't get hot. Sorry.
Yeah. And how dare you? You're supposed to be a friend of this podcast. Do not come up to me as a supposed friend of this show and say, I just bought a competing mattress. Who does that? Like, we're not telling you about some bullshit on this show.
Well, now she has a hot layer as a result. That's right, yeah. Angie. We're calling you out on your hot layer.
Yeah, hot layer. You deserve that hot layer. That's your karma, okay?
Cool as a cucumber in my ice-cold Casper, which is super comfy.
Because the Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. It's just the right sink and just the right bounce. Two technologies, latex foam and memory foam, that come together for better nights and brighter days. There's a risk-free trial and return policy, so try sleeping on a Casper for 100 days with free delivery and painless returns. And guess where they're made? In America.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
So you guys know the deal, right? You get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/crappins, casper.com/crappins, casper.com/crappins. And if there's ever some sort of promo code you have to type in, guess what? It's crappins. Oh, my
crappins.
God.
Terms and conditions apply. Now get over there and get yourself some sleep.
Yes, please.
Right. I feel like they should be putting these in the Below Deck Med episodes, because those are all about naps and how important Sandy. Sleep is.
Yeah.
You know, Captain Sandy would be a great spokesperson for Casper.
Oh, she sure would. She sure would. I'll tell you that much. She would love all that rest.
So back in Savannah, Chelsea and Catherine, they're getting ready to get some clothes for Catherine's modeling shoot, and Catherine's like,
well, I'm in a new age bracket now between party girl and fun mom.
Yeah. She's not happy about it. She's like, now I have to market myself as I'm a fucking J. Crew bitch. And I'm not a J. Crew bitch. Sorry. I don't know what else to say.
It is nice to see the real Catherine shining through.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, because she's like, I'm nice. I'm sober. So for her to just get frustrated and be like, I'm no fucking J. Crew bitch. Sorry.
Yeah, I like that. It makes me happy. What sort of bitch do you think she is?
I think she's exactly what she's going out for. I mean, I think that model agent really knows her. I mean, she is a party mom. Like, that's literally why she's in trouble.
Yeah.
So I think she pretty much called it.
That's true. So Catherine is shopping with Chelsea, and Cameron comes along too. And I like Catherine's just like, you didn't want to have anything to do with me for like 2 years and forever, and now you want to? Okay.
Yeah, she's like, whatever. And Cameron, of course, is as fake as possible. She's like, hi, Miss Model. Hi. Yeah. What are you, a model? Oh, my God, you're a model. I know, model. Can I get your autograph? And Chelsea's like, well, she just happened to be in the neighborhood.
She was just in the neighborhood, so we thought we'd find her some crappy-ass romper that we can just pretend to like for a second, just to get on camera.
And then Cameron, not able to help herself, is getting champagne. She's like, should we offer Catherine some alcohol? Probably not.
It's probably she probably doesn't want that, right? We don't want to send her back to rehab, right?
Asshole. And Chelsea's like, well, we shouldn't drink in front of her. She goes, I'm going to live my life.
She's made up for her decisions. You know, I had to deal with her craziness. She can deal with mine.
So Chelsea gets her back. She's like, hey, Cameron. You know, I think you should do a sexy photo shoot for Jason before you get pregnant and your body goes to shit. You might not bounce back.
I have a feeling Cameron will be just fine. She's looked the same for 15 years.
Yeah, she'll probably, like, pop a baby out of her elbow or something crazy and, like, yeah, keep her body just fine.
Yeah, she's probably already, like, 9 months pregnant, okay?
It'll come out like a little bean.
It's like one of those things you have to put it in water and it expands.
Yeah, it's like one of those girls who goes to prom and has a baby in the toilet, and they're like, I didn't know I was pregnant.
I didn't know I was pregnant, Shep. That's her new MTV show. It's just stories that people tell Shep about being pregnant.
And she'll be like, and you're the father. And he'll be like, I didn't remember. Gosh.
Gosh. I was in the neighborhood. That's what the baby says. Well, wah, wah. I was in the neighborhood, so I thought I'd come out. Wah, wah.
Black, wah. Wah. Cut my cord, please. Wah. So they're gonna have some party, whatever. Cam tells Chelsea, she's like, well, I didn't tell you about Shep. I went to his house the other day because he was late for this house viewing and he was passed out, and I said, Shep, this is serious.
I'm like, is that how you're going to woo Chelsea over to Team Shep? Because I don't think that's a very effective tactic, talking about how Shep was sleeping until 1 p.m amidst a pile of beer cans and dip.
Yeah, and at least Chelsea finally said something later this episode, because I was like, you're not being a very good friend.
Yeah.
So next up, Austin picks up Chelsea from the salon. She's like, what'd you do today? You been working, not working, working like work, not working for work, 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 not work, working, work, work, work. He's like, well, I was working. Well, that's good. I was like, these two are some fucking fascinating couple.
They're sort of like Bert and Ernie. He kind of looks like Bert without the eyebrows.
How was your day? Good, good, or bad, bad? Was it good, good, or bad, bad? Good, bad?
Like, well, right. I tried not to work. You know, I wore extra big flip-flops today, so that way they'd send me home early. And then I think I want to introduce you to my parents. She's like, great. And then Chelsea starts telling the story, which is that the night before, because apparently they all went out to the Commodore the night before, and Chelsea said that Shep did something weird. He apparently grabbed her arm and was like, hey, I want to talk to you out back. So they went out back, and he just went in for a kiss, and he tried two or three times.
And Austin is like, so grabbed you? He grabbed you? Are you saying he grabbed you? She's like, well, yeah, and then he tried two or three times.
Mm-hmm.
Right, when you were inside, I mean, that took some kind of nerve.
Yeah, and then she says, you know, that apparently Shep told her, gosh, everyone knows you and I have so much chemistry, and you and Austin are such a joke. Gosh! And then,
like,
apparently,
was he grabbing you when he said that?
And then apparently Shep really also liked, Shep also was telling Chelsea how Austin and Landon seem like they have real chemistry and they're always hanging out and stuff like that. So this was really pissing off Austin.
Yeah, but she really got him with this one, because she goes, he's making me feel like I'm naive about what you do when I'm not around with Landon. Is there something with you and Landon? And he's like,
like Michael Landon, like Little House on the Prairie? I don't think so. I think he's been dead. You're so crazy, Chelsea. How about a habit, am I right?
And he's like, how about I kill the wabbit, kill the wabbit. Like, totally stuttering. And he's like, that really makes me, I'm trying my hardest not to blow my lid. And she's like, well, I'm not blowing it, so you better figure it out. So he's like really mad now, but I think she got him. I think Shep has something with this Landon thing.
I don't know. What I think is funny, and I'm not saying this in a sort of like way to excuse what Shep did, but isn't it funny how, if this were a rom-com, what Shep did would have been like the romantic gesture. The guy who's just like, I can't help it anymore, I love you, and like kisses her behind the bar, you know, and like the guy, like the Bill Pullman's inside, you know. But in real life, it doesn't work out that way. In real life, it's kind of rapey.
Yeah. In real life, the girl pulls away and is like, yeah, you can't do that. Like, the whole 80s rom-com thing is dead.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to stop even putting those things out. Like, while you were sleeping, are you fucking kidding me? No, that is called rape. And we are pulling that from Blockbuster Vigil.
While you were not consenting. So,
I'm so sorry there's all this non-consent talk. It's been my whole week.
Did you consent to this discussion today?
I did not consent to this consent talk all week. Okay, people?
So then we cut to Craig and Austin getting a beer that night. And Austin immediately downloads Craig on all the gossip. And Craig's like, well, you know, Shep's sort of a shitty person. So that's, you know, that's what it is.
And yeah, then, Craig is just riding this one. He's loving this.
Yeah, he is like embroidering faster than you've ever seen him before. He's like stitching all the news. He's gonna send Naomi like an embroidered note with all the gossip on it. So
I made Shep a pillowcase. SSP, Shep shitty person.
By the way, now might be a good time to make a digression and talk about the fact that Craig was on Watch What Happens Live last night, which I didn't watch, but I watched the clip, I guess, of the after show where Sonia Morgan was on there. Did you see this?
Uh-uh.
Sonia, so the guests were Craig and Bobby Moynihan from SNL, and then Daniel from Southern Charm Savannah was the guest bartender. And I guess Sonia was in the audience or backstage or whatever, and she was drunk. And she came out, and she was sitting on a stool next to the bar. And she is just drunk and just saying all these things. You know, the clip is 13 minutes long. It was hilarious, but after 6 minutes, I was like, I've had enough, so I stopped. But she was chiming in, and she was like, I think Naomi needs to relax. I think it's great what you're doing with the pillowcases. You just gotta do you, you know? She was really defending Craig. And
finally, someone who understands me.
And Andy Cohen was, like, both totally amused, but you could tell, like, the control freak in him was going nuts because at one point, someone called up and asked Bobby Moynihan if he stole anything from SNL before he left. And then Sonia's like, you should steal something from this set. And Andy Cohen's like, no, don't steal anything from the set. And Bobby Moynihan's like, oh, I'm going to take this. And Sonia's like, oh, there's all this stuff. Go take all of it. You can take all of it. Don't worry. And Andy's like, no, you can't. You're not allowed to say, take anything. No, Sonia, no.
Oh, Sonia. Good. I'm glad Sonia's back. Yeah, back to the Sonia. Drunk five and dime.
Making Andy Sonia feel
Dean, Sonia Dean. So Whitney enters this bar and he's like, hey, buddy. Hey, bud.
Hey, buddy. Hey, bro.
Nosferatu has arrived.
He's so creepy. So Austin is just telling each person as they enter basically what Shep did. And then we get a big old slice of Neanderthal hotness, Bo.
Bo. Bo. I feel like we've seen Bo before, but I feel like this is truly
in
Bo's
evolution
moment.
In evolution charts. I mean, he is a Neanderthal. He goes back, you know, centuries. He is the basis for humanity, guys. It's called evolution. Yeah. And man, has that caveman cleaned up good. Roar!
Bo. Bo. Truly wonderful. I was really happy. You know, he's not even normally my type, but I was like, Bo, we need more Bo on this show.
He's the father of humanity, and I love him in a nice little, you know, cotton collar pullover.
He's got like a little bit of like a little belly there, just a little bit, like a little beer belly, but somehow it works.
Yes, girl. He'll grab you by the hair and just drag you into a cave.
And he was like the nice one, but you know, he can be, you know, you know that if he pulls Chelsea into the back and tries to kiss her, he's going to seal the deal.
Yeah, she'll be riding that one.
He's bringing the rom-com back.
Every time any girl's around him, they just like take a Sharpie and write consent on their forehead. They're like, I consent.
As men, are we allowed to be making these jokes? I'm not sure.
Well, that's what this is. I mean, Shep, oh my God.
So, yeah, here comes Shep. Here comes Shep. And then he's like, oh gosh, I know those girls over by the bar. Like, oh, Shep, you're not helping your case.
Those two 20-year-old blonde sorority girls. And Austin's like, well, surprise, surprise, with his mouth moving like 10, you know, miles a minute or whatever.
Yeah.
And Shep's like, oh, well, I guess that Austin has the moral high ground now that he's like kind of sort of dating somebody. Gosh. And Craig goes,
oh, sounds like jealousy, bro.
Yes. So now the confrontation begins. And Austin is basically telling Shep, I know this is what I heard. What happened? I heard you pulled Chelsea into the back and tried to kiss her. And Shep is like, was that wrong? Garsh.
It was a test. It was a test on your behalf to see if she'd do it. Also, Austin is doing this thing where he is talking to someone way smarter than him, so he's trying to use words he doesn't understand, and it is hilarious. He's like, well, Chelsea regaled me with a...
regatta. She regaled me with a regatta in a regal Rangoon-style rigatoni dish.
So many good ones in this scene. And Craig is like,
yeah, well, you tried to bang Naomi first time I brought her over. And he goes,
yeah, I did.
So it's interesting here with Shep, before we go further, because there's more stuff, obviously, that he says. So his first instinct to say, was that wrong? It was not what I was expecting him to say. And I almost liked it as a response, except for the fact that it felt sort of skeevy. But I kind of liked that he actually owned it. He's like, yeah, so, yeah. But the problem is that he didn't stick with that line of logic. And we'll get back to that line of logic later. But, you know... I was actually surprised at how not black and white this was. I thought going into it, I was like, oh, Shep, you really were like a pig. And then as it went through, I was like, you know, there's actually some more gray areas to this than I expected. But that being said, when he said it was a test, I was making sure on your behalf, I was like, oh no, now that's bullshit. Don't Shep, you can't do that. That's bullshit.
Yeah, but the last episode he went over to Chelsea's to hang out and they talked about it. And she said very clearly, well, we're not really dating, we're just hanging out, and you know, we're still free to do what we want to do, we don't blah, blah, blah. She went out of her way to say she's single, she can do whatever the fuck she wants to. If he texts her too much and makes her feel like she's being, you know, tied down, she's out of there, this and that. And then she acts like it's crazy that he would put a move on her and that he was doing something wrong to Austin. Now, right. I think that he was doing something wrong to Austin.
He obviously did. Well, you know, his opening line, which is that, well, now that you're in a relationship, you have the moral high ground, is a concession that he knows they're not dated. They're not like just casual, you know?
I know, but she can't have it both ways. One minute she's saying, no, we're just hanging out. We're friends. We're friends. We're friends. And then the very next day, basically, right. I don't know how this was shot, she's like, I can't believe it. Where would it even get that idea?
Well, admittedly, I think everyone in real life, it's like, okay, they may not be dating, but they're hooking up and they're at a bar together. And then, so for Shep to pull that move,
Shep is like wrong.
Ballsy. It's ballsy. It's a violation of bro code. And maybe it was an attempt at a souping romantic gesture, but
Shep was wrong. I'm just surprised I don't hear anybody saying that Chelsea's like totally full of shit that she's telling him that when he asked her flat out, you know.
Yeah,
but yeah, Shep's gross and he was wrong. And especially when Craig's like, yeah, well, you tried to fuck Naomi, and he's like, yeah I did.
And then he goes, Craig, I'm no Lothario, okay, my friend. And Craig goes, you think I fucking know what that means?
And then the music goes, boom.
I just wish Gizmo had been there to hear it, because he would have reacted hilariously.
Gizmo's face is always like that. He's just like...
Gizmo's like, if you had woken up before 1 p.m., we could have gone over our daily vocabulary.
So Shep goes, well, you were sending texts to Landon. And Austin's like, yeah, well, so what? So I sent her a text. And he goes, yeah, well, I have lots of girls I text randomly, you know, and if you tried to kiss one of them, I'd shrug. You know, everyone wants to have their cake and eat it too.
Yeah, I think he even said that he FaceTimes with Landon, but he barely even texts with Chelsea, which is, I think, even more why it's like, huh, you know, it's a little weird, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's all weird. And Whitney is trying to calm things down, but, you know, in his shit-stirring way, he's like, well, I think what they're saying is at this juncture, Mother, you're overreacting. And Craig's like,
well, someone would say if you had an inkling of what was going on, you'd move on. And then Shep jumps on that and makes kind of a decent point when he's like, well, I liked her first.
Yeah.
Well, and you were the one who didn't move on. And I even confronted you about it. And then so we see that, you know, so little argument.
Two things about that. So first, I think Craig actually has the most realistic response when he says, if there's even an inkling of relationship, you go on to the next one. And I think that ultimately, at the end of the day, that's probably what Shep should have done.
But sometimes my maleness gets the better of me.
Yeah. So, but however, even though I think that's what I think Craig's point is the most salient point, I thought when Shep turned the tables on Austin and said, gosh, wait, didn't this happen first on your side? I was like, ooh, that's kind of a good point, you know? And it's not to say that, like, Shep owns Chelsea or Austin owns Chelsea, but it's an interesting point, even though Austin and Chelsea are far more developed than Shep ever was with her, which is also needs to be remembered. But Austin's response to that was like, oh, well, you know, I felt remorse. I felt a huge amount of remorse. Shep's like, I didn't get to even hear it from you. Gosh.
And if we aren't dating, I shouldn't have to say we're dating. You know, like, I shouldn't have to say that. Yeah. And he's like, well, when someone kicks me over and over, then that's when Shep's like, yeah, but then someone kicks me over and over to go after her, and it's Cam, you know? And, like, if I don't know, like, what do I know, you know? Like, it's her fault. Like, it's her fault. Like, she was telling me to do it. Gosh. And then my maleness got the better of me. Gosh. And Austin's like, well, you forcibly. And he's like, oh, please now. Please. Yeah. I did not have to force her to come outside with me.
And before we get into the forcibly stuff, I want to go back to the Cameron stuff now. I'm unpacking everything, Ronnie. Every line.
It's okay. Yeah, go.
Because I thought that actually this was Shep's strongest point. I thought when he said, listen, because Shep was the one who was had been kind of saying, I think that I'm pretty sure Chelsea's with Austin. I'm pretty sure. And, you know, Chelsea was like, well, was downplaying it. Cameron's like, no, she's not with Austin. You should go after her. You should go after her. You know, those are confusing signals, you know, and like he should have been bright enough to realize there was something. But honestly, I feel like there's maybe something unspoken here, which is that maybe there was a producer in his ear or maybe there was like talk of like this would be a good storyline if you go after Chelsea. I mean, it's not. I understand that, you know, here I am making excuses for his bad behavior, like willing to give him context. So I understand that. But it is a reality show and it's not an implausible thing. So I feel like I really don't think Chep should have done it. But I think his strongest defense was like, look, I didn't know what was going on. And I have Cameron every single day pestering me to do it. So I thought, OK, I'll give it a shot. Like, why not? You know?
Well, then her point later is like, yeah, I did tell him to go for it, but I didn't tell him to go for it like a child. I mean, he could have asked her on a date or, you know, been an adult about it, and he acted like a damn idiot. Absolutely. But also, Shep's been jealous the whole time, and the only reason he got interested in her again was because Austin had her.
Yeah.
And I mean, even in this scene, he's like, yeah, I did try to fuck your girlfriend, Craig. It's like he's just kind of a gross, jealous fuck, and we've seen it season after season. Whenever he gets pissed that someone gets the girl, even that Chelsea Ballerini picking Craig at the auction over him, and he had a fit.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever. Shep.
I'm not saying that Shep is right in the situation, but I like to. I sometimes in arguments, I just feel like I like when people make good points, and I feel like I like to highlight the points and to show that this situation was not quite as black and white. But I think Craig is the most correct here, and I think that Cameron is the most correct too.
Well, I think Bo's the most hot. Correct.
Bo is the
he's
hottest.
The most correct in his hotness. And so, then he's getting in the middle. So they move to a different bar. Yeah,
because now things are spiraling out of control. Because now Austin, as you started to say, starts saying that what really made him mad was that Shep forcibly yanked her out to the back. And Shep is like, what the fuck? I didn't forcibly do it. She could have said no. Like, I don't forcibly make people do things like that. He's like, maybe she likes me. He said that. He's like, well, maybe she came out back because she likes me, which really pissed off Austin.
And then Austin is like, well, you know, you alluded to the fact that I didn't have enough money. And Shep's like, alluded? Because he knows that Austin doesn't even know what he's saying.
Well,
and he's like, yeah, well, and Charlotte, you know, and then they showed the clips of him saying, you don't have enough money, bro, which is not alluding to anything. That's just saying.
Yeah. So now, because now what Austin is mad about.
Flat out.
Because now they're fully fighting. You know, Shep's like, bunch of fucking babies, gosh. And, you know, Craig's like, obviously you're trying to fuck her. So now Austin's mad. And the exact quote that Shep said in Charlotte was, gosh, she went slumming with you. She wanted to see what the blue-collar life is like. Harsh, gosh, gosh.
Yeah. Craig is like, Shep's gonna walk away now because he's mad. He's like, I'm out of here. I wouldn't piss on you if you were on fire. Which, you know, I love a good Judge Judy quote in any show. And Austin's like, you're just gonna walk away? And Craig's like, yeah, because you were trying to fuck her the other night. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, Craig, I pulled down my pants and I showed her my dick, okay? And then Austin goes, what? You're just gonna walk away without trying to absolve this?
And even Shep is like, huh? Gosh, I can't deal with people who aren't intellectual.
Yeah, he's like, I have enough friends and they actually know what absolve means. So gosh, I'm garshing. Bye. Yeah. I'm garsh out of here.
So gosh, I'm garshing. So Shep is, I'm fucking furious. By the way, in the middle of this, when he does an interview, it looked like his chin was stung by like 20 different bees. I don't know what's going on there, but I hope he gets some cream very fast.
I think he was nervous in front of Bo, because Bo's like, well, I was talking to the boys, and they said you said something about money, and that's what I'm trying to understand.
Yeah.
Would you like to have a hug, Shep? Yeah. Shep, let me run my fingers through your hair.
Yeah, Bo was trying to be the peacemaker. He's being the level-headed one, being like, Shep, did you say it? So you're fine. It's fine. It's fine. But, you know.
And then when Austin's like, he's a child, I'm done, and he leaves too. And Bo goes, Austin, 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 Austin. I was like, oh, Bo, come here, daddy.
And Shep, when he storms off, he's like, gosh, I've got a million friends. I don't need any more. And Whitney goes, I heard that. Like, shut up, Whitney. Like, he's like, burn.
What is Whitney even doing here?
I don't know.
So now Catherine and the modeling thing, she goes and Thomas brings over Kenzie. And Kenzie's like, ah! She's just laughing the whole time, so excited.
Yeah.
They're like, look, it's Bubbles. And she's like, bah! Yeah.
Amy, the poor photographer, has no voice. It's her Bravo debut. It's her chance to like get in the mix, like that one lady who does all the cooking for everyone, Lynn or whatever her name is. And Amy's like, I'll be there in 1 second. Excuse me. I'm like, oh, Amy, not on your Bravo debut.
She's like,
I need to check on the voting tallies. Go, Hillary.
I'm part of the 99%.
So they do this really cute modeling thing, and Thomas and Catherine are getting along. And when they're leaving, Kinsey starts freaking out because, you know, she wants her mommy and she has to leave.
Jeep. Yeah.
And then Catherine starts sobbing, and I cried.
This was actually really devastating to watch.
Yeah, and I don't need to talk about that much. So you just go ahead, because I cried and I don't need to talk about that.
No, it was really sad. And what I thought was interesting was, you know, Catherine and Thomas have been getting along so well and laughing and smiling. And then when the baby starts crying, there was such an uncomfortable goodbye between the two adults, because Catherine starts choking up. And then Thomas is like, all right, I'll take it. And Thomas puts the baby in his car, and he gives Catherine like this weird like side hug and like barely even looks at her. Like, she's crying. You would have thought that he'd give her like a hug, be like, it's all right, I'll take care of it. But he just was like visibly uncomfortable and visibly unhappy with some sort of situation. And I was like, ugh, this show can get so dark sometimes. Like, so
yeah,
so
it really does. And when she went inside and she's like, you know, I know I made mistakes and I'm paying the price for it and I get it, but so sad.
Yeah. So then,
yeah, that was like five erms.
Yeah, it was a big erm, big erm section. So Jeez. Then we go to Cameron. Now she goes to check in on Chelsea, and Chelsea tells Cameron the whole Shep story, what we've heard. And Chelsea's like, well, what I heard that Shep told Austin was that you've been in Shep's ear telling him to go after me. And that's when Cameron's like, yeah, but not to be like an idiot about it.
And she's like, well, you see his lifestyle, and he's a friend. You shouldn't want me to be with him. She's like, well, okay, you're right, but
I feel sorry for Shep, you know?
Which is also insulting to Chelsea.
He's like an onion.
Well, onion smell. You want me to smell like an onion for the rest of my life?
Well, you're right. But when you pull the layers back from the onion, there's more little baby onions in there that are even cuter than the big onion.
Don't you remember Gina Davis's monologue in the feature film Hero, when she peeled an onion in front of all her peers and said that she was like an onion in the middle? There's nothing. Don't you remember?
No. Was she anything like Shep? Because he's adorable, and I feel sorry for him.
At least put me with a shallot.
And Chelsea's like, well, I know so many entitled guys who don't face any consequences because of the lifestyle and how they were raised.
She's like, okay, well, I will snatch a knot in Shep's head.
I think you're the one today.
Now excuse me while I go back to sort of dating the guy who sells beer to bars.
But I'm not dating him, so tell your friends.
Yeah.
So next, Craig and Naomi are at their therapist, and Craig walks in. He's like,
hello. Hi.
She's like, did you just wake up? And he's like, God, low blow right off the bat.
He's like, and yes, I did. What time is it? 10 a.m.? It's 4 p.m., Craig.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. School's out. Let's have a beer.
Yeah.
So the therapist's like, so how are you? And Craig's like, well, we had a few good days, but now it's back. And he tells about this party they went to, or that party at Patricia's house. Naomi told the story to the whole group where she's like, it was so cute. We were in the car and I was telling Craig, I'm going to become a pescatarian. And he was like, oh my God, I didn't know you were religious. And then I realized he thought I meant Episcopalian. And I was like, no, I just want to eat fowl.
He like didn't even know what pescatarian meant. Like, isn't that the cutest, most dumbest thing you've ever seen? Look how adorable he is. He doesn't even know what's happening. Look at him. He's so confused. Oh, let's all go pet Craig.
Does anybody have a fork to mash up one of these peaches with? Anybody?
Oh, but we have to pretend it's an airplane. Okay, open up the hangar, Craig.
She tried to make a train go into my mouth. She's like, choo-choo, caroo, Craig. Here's a little chopped up banana for you, Craig.
It's like, I knew it was a fork. She didn't even try to make it have wings. I mean, it was so insulting.
Like, I don't know what a spork is.
It was like a really condescending story to tell.
Yeah, it was
even though
shitty.
It was hilarious. It was shitty,
especially
but I was, like,
around
laughing.
People that she knows have no respect for Craig. Yeah. And even those people were like awkward. They looked like eesh.
But I have sympathy because I can tell that she's probably been pushed to this point of exasperation where the only way that she can find an outlet is to tell a passive aggressive story at Patricia's house. It's also sort of what happens
to me.
House.
It's borderline abusive to pick someone you consider to be a bimbo to date and then make fun of them forever for being a bimbo.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, what do you think? It's not like Craig was waiting to, you know, show you this side of himself. He's pretty much been this since you met him. So
that's
why
true.
Is it?
And then he's like, no, I mean, she's just always trying to change who I am. And they cut to her like a flashback to the same party later on. And she's like, Craig, successful people don't sleep all day. You sometimes exhibit loser behavior. And so I was like, well, I was starting to feel bad for Craig. But now that like she's telling him, can you like not sleep all day? And he's like, she's trying to change who I am.
Kind of like, and I'm a sleeper.
And she's like, well, I come home from 14-hour days and you're still in bed. And he goes, well, maybe it's because I was up all night trading in an offshore market until 5 a.m. And then I had to sleep. And she goes, really?
Craig, you're having a great season so far. Everyone thinks you're sweet and adorable. This is by far the best season you've ever had. We all just want to just like give you a hug and just like play with you and stuff. But here's the thing. Every single season, the sleeping has been a problem. Like, every single season, it's always like, Craig, why do you sleep so late? He's always like, well, if I get the work done, I get the work done. If I'm doing trading at offshore markets till 5 a.m., I'm getting it done. I'm making the money. It's like, Craig, it's time to accept that you need to get onto a more regular sleep pattern. So that way people can enjoy you for who you are. At this point, you've had issues with Shep, with Cam, the whole group. your old boss, now your girlfriend about the sleeping. Time to set an alarm.
Yeah, I'm not sure, because as long as he's getting his rent paid and stuff, but I don't know if she's just taking care of him. That's what's not really clear on this show. Like, is she paying all the rent and the bills, and he's just living off the money from the show and not making much of an effort anywhere else? Or if he's paying his half of the bills, he can do whatever the fuck he wants. And this is said by someone who will be going to sleep after this show.
Well, I don't want to shame your...
But also, I
don't want to shame your upcoming sleep. But also, I mean, it could also be the sign of depression, too, all this sleeping. I mean, I understand why she's frustrated. She comes home. She's working hard. She wants to be with her boo. And he's sleeping. Or he's, like, just waking up and just coming to. It just is, like, it's kind of depressing, you know?
Yeah.
At least have, like, an overnight shift at a hospital or something to account for it.
Yeah.
And I'm someone who used to do that. I used to stay up till 5 a.m. and then sleep till 1 or 2. Like, I get it. But... certain point, you gotta. If you're in a relationship, you wanna be awake for your boo if you can. And you know what, Naomi, ultimately, I think she said something sensible, which is like, look, be yourself, but you may have to just be yourself like without me, because I don't like the way you are right now, and you know I'm not happy the way you are right now. This is ruining my happiness to see you sleep throughout the day.
Yeah,
can't argue with that.
Yeah, and he's like, God. So Shep and Cam are next, and she's like, Shep, I have to talk to you. This isn't good, Shep. And he's like, okay, well, look, basically I tried to kiss Chelsea. And she's like,
she said twice, Shep. That's not good, Shep.
I'm going to have to take back Tonta now.
And he's like, I don't remember. And she said, well, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And if you can't stop your primal urges, stop drinking. Yeah. And he's like, you're the queen of promoting us together.
Yeah. And she's like, well, yeah, but the right way wasn't kissing a girl at a bar behind the bar with her man still in the other room. That's not how you do it. And he's like, gosh, well, you know, I saw a shiny object and I went after it. And Cam's like, yeah, that's called entitlement. I was like, wow, Cam, great. Like, I love it. She's saying it all.
And the way he worded it, too. I tried to eat like a fish, like a lure.
Yeah.
So he was being lured.
Gosh,
I mean, Shep, come on.
I'm like Hemingway, old man on the sea.
Yeah. But it's like her fault because she put the bait in the water.
And you know what, though? Cam called him out for everything and was like, no. You know, I said to go after her. You do it the proper way. And the way you did it right there, it just reeks of entitlement. And that's going to be your problem.
And he's like, well, it usually works. Gosh.
Yeah, and then Cam asks, she's like, are you jealous of Austin? He's like, gosh, not jealous at all. Not jealous.
I don't
at
care.
All.
And then he puts on thick sunglasses.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care, gosh.
Yeah, interesting. I loved it. I thought it was a great episode.
Yeah, it was.
It got to some like real shit. It's like all this stuff that's been sort of like circulating around in the season is finally all coming together.
Oh, Lord. Well, this was 11. I'm not sure how many they have this season, but at the end of this episode, there was a really good preview for the rest. So I don't know if they're doing a full 20 or what, but looks good.
So good. I can't wait. I can't wait to see what happens next week. But in the meantime, tomorrow we will be back to record some Below Deck Mediterranean. It's going to be a good one.
We will be back. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone. See you tomorrow.